So I'm going to open this up for any questions, and please use the chat. I'm going to switch over to that here. And, you know, whatever you would like to ask on this subject, please, you know, feel free to type in that question. It's a long question. For me, doubt is like a solvent. It allows what has naturally solidified to return to a liquid state. The more time passes, the more I recognize that to live in the world, it is necessary to build ideas, habits, values. Without doubt, all these necessary tools become or risk becoming absolute truths. Meditation brings me more and more into contact with the deepest part, perhaps not even mine, which everything is liquid and in constant movement. Now, doubt it is the call of this part, which is irreducible to any solidification. What I have understood so far of Buddhist philosophy is that liberation consists in recognizing the impossibility of reducing to static and repetitive concepts something that by its nature has no form and never repeats itself. Okay, very nicely said, you know. And it's really good to see how doubt fits in with understanding of experience being dependently arisen, dynamic, fluid, that we are moving away from static concepts, from views that are essentially going to become limiting, if at first there's a sense of freedom in them. By the very nature of keeping a view, of holding a view, we will try to solidify. Even a view of no self, you know, can actually have that same kind of solidification. And that's one reason when I was talking about doubt, I was actually trying to get at, you know, gradations of a sense of self, of a flavor of self, and how really, you know, for me, that has been actually much more helpful rather than trying to, you know, say this is self or not self at times, you know, just kind of see, you know, where is the self? How is it manifesting in some of my experience? And then I'm not getting caught into a static or repetitive construct around it. I'm examining the construct instead. This is all related, you know, like there's, you know, I look at Buddhist teachings, Buddhist philosophy, you know, I can see, well, there's many ways people can cut the pie and, you know, ways that things can be divided and looked at. But there's something kind of elegant in how certain parts of it hold together, you know. And so that's also what I'm looking at. So the idea is that our doubt or questioning, not knowing, adds to our spiritual growth. Is that right? Yes, it does. That actually not knowing, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, may help us in our growth, you know. And many times I think when we kind of look at a situation and we say, well, I really don't know, but I want to learn, I want to listen, I want to hear, you know, or I thought I knew, I thought I had the right idea, but I think right now I'm questioning it, and that's okay. And I think it's okay to question what we've taught, what we believed in at one time. You know, I think, you know, we need to do that. So this is actually part of our spiritual growth and a part of our interpersonal growth and our growth as human beings. It's not just, you know, limited to this one particular area. I believe that this could apply in many aspects of our lives. Sometimes I have a sense of letting go of illusions. I see the straws that I am clutching at, and then there is a sense of emptiness. Inside it, there is no meaning, but afterwards, something becomes lighter. Yeah. And that's kind of like what we're looking at as process, you know. So much of this can only be kind of expressed in this way, that, you know, we're have an inner experience, you know, we, in especially meditation, we can see this, that you're holding on to something and there is some other kind of experience around it. So yes, there's not much more to say. I hope that others can relate to what this person has written. Knowledge is provisional, my experience. Doubt is a reminder of how to hold it all lightly. Yeah, exactly. That's what we're also looking at here, is that, we have provisional understandings. They're not absolute, they're not the end, and that we will continue to reflect on them, look at them. We may only get so far in that reflection and that contemplation, but there's a way in which we are kind of nurturing ourselves. We are kind of becoming more awake and intelligent and wiser as we're going through this process, instead of more rigid and narrow around it. So yes, and this notion of holding things lightly, I think, is an important part of it. That we're not trying to get at anything that we hold on to tightly here. Okay. I find that allowing some solidification lets me have ideas to see and contemplate. At this point, what to do next, or read or talk about with the teacher, think about how to proceed. This is, an interesting question, because basically, in the previous webinar, somebody brought up something interesting in this regard. She said she likes to listen to people who have convictions so that she can doubt, so she knows, so her doubting works when she hears people who are speaking of things in such a authoritative way. That happens also when we read. As a writer, I know this, that I have to write in a way that people, want to read me and take in what I have to say, my ideas. But I'm also writing, hopefully, in a way where people can step back and think about what I'm saying and read between the lines and look at things. So maybe that's the kind of thing to read, the kind of thing to look at, not the new idea you want to hold on to, like the new banner that you want to wave. It's the books or the things that kind of get you to consider from other angles to kind of have this doubt. So I would choose that kind of reading, and I choose that kind of input. And that if you really want to kind of, how do you say, explore your experience in this manner, to also write things down and to can let yourself kind of go into areas where you usually don't let yourself think, to have the doubting and the skepticism kind of lead to some fresh ideas and perspectives. It feels as if doubt is partnered with uncertainty. It is difficult in sittings to judge how to treat uncertainty. I often ask myself, how much investigation is enough for me? This seems to give an open-ended difficulty in feeling confidence in my own process. The answer to this issue is constantly evolving with experience, but never seems to be reached. This is all good, I mean, you guys could be giving the talk instead of me. Essentially, this is one of the questions that I have at times of, have I looked at this too much? Have I kind of investigated this to death? And the real issue starts to come to me is when I find that my investigation is being led by wanting to solve it or to resolve it, instead of letting it go and saying another day, another time, another angle. And this often happens in our explorative process in meditation, is that we may investigate and contemplate a certain area to a certain degree, and then we sort of, lose interest. It's like it peters out, or we find our mind just gets quiet and tranquil, moves on. And then we investigate something else, maybe a totally different subject or area of our lives. And we start to find that they actually connect up, that the different things you've been looking at, even though at first doesn't seem related at all, actually has been building off of each other and producing some other kind of more, I would say, like a more constellated type of insight, not just like insight into one thing, but insight into various aspects of something. And this is hard for me to explain, but this is kind of what goes on. Like it is so open-ended. We may not reach a conclusion about what we're investigating. Like investigating the nature of the self or what is conditionality, but we find that we get a certain distance to that we understand more than we thought, that we start to pick up other parts of it. And nobody can tell you exactly what questions to ask or what are the different areas to go into. You'd find it on your own. And this is one good reason also for keeping a journal, that the meditation journal helps us to remember, to recall, oh, yes, last week I was looking in this area. Yesterday I looked in this area. Now I'm here, and you might start to find that that sort of keeps a record of this ongoing process of investigation. I know it will pass, but have you ever gone to this truly blank, empty place, totally with no faith, nothing to hang on to, and feel enormous fear? Pretty amazing. Yes, I've gone there, and I think that's the anxiety. That's one of the bigger anxieties around existence, is just the fact that we might end up in a place where we have no beliefs, we have nothing to hold on to, we're completely out there. And it's great that we have a meditation practice that lets us sit with it, and that enables the mind to settle, with that experience. So yes, we are going there in this practice. I think in the first webinar I talked about a little bit, but there may be a way in which our doubt produces a higher level of anxiety and fear that we kind of say, whoa, this is too much. I need to pull back. And you might reconsider that as you continue in your meditation practice, that you can sit with a higher level of tolerance for this. Tolerance for kind of like being in a place where your confusion, your level of uncertainty, even your level of despair and hopelessness is much higher than you thought you could ever tolerate. And there you're probably going to learn much more about those parts of yourself.